Welcome back, my friends. Merry Christmas, Happy Hanukkah, because I refuse to say Happy Holidays. That is so trite. That is so, it's Hanukkah, it's Christmas, or it's Christmas, it's Hanukkah. You say them both, you've covered 99% of the holidays. So why do we have to go, Happy Holiday? I won't do it. Won't do it on this show. But anyway, we hope you're having a wonderful holiday season. I know your Thanksgiving last week had to have been extraordinary because I know you used some of the recipes that we actually used right here on the show. But how could you do holiday cooking without taters?
You can't.
You really can't. And I mean, we've got two different kinds of potatoes. Now, I got to say, my Irish heritage didn't really know much about sweet potatoes. Just telling you. Our idea of sweet potatoes was taking Jameson and mixing it with the mash.
Oh.
You know, that's about as sweet as we got. But anyway, Taylor is going to take us on a little culinary journey with the sweet potato. And by the way, Schumann Produce now has actually selling sweet potatoes. And I had the first sweet potatoes out of their crop.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, were they good.
Mm-hmm.
I have found the sweet potato to be kind of different in as much as it's getting a lot more recognition, thus more recipes.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't eat candied yams because, once again, you know, the canned candied yams is ugh. And but there are recipes coming out now, and we're going to – and Taylor's going to share with us. She's also going to – one of the great things, besides Chinese food at Christmas – which is a Jewish staple.
Done that many times.
It is the brisket. So what do you want to start with? It's your segment.
So first off, I'm going to just kind of brief synopsis. So for those of you who don't know, Hanukkah is the Festival of Lights. It is a celebration of when they thought there was only enough oil for one night and it burned for eight. A kind of little fact is that the thing that you light is actually not a menorah. It's called a Hanukkiah. A menorah only has seven spots where a Hanukkiah has eight.
Gosh, I learned something.
You did.
I did. I always thought it was a menorah.
And I grew up with a brisket made in an oven on Hanukkah.
How do you say it?
Hanukkah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to have some oomph with it.
Right.
Right? So as those of you who have watched the show know, I'm a pit master. So I have taken over the brisket duty for the family. I would probably be shamed for my entire culture if I served a bad brisket.
I was going to say, that's pressure.
Yeah. Oh, it is.
And with guilt?
Yeah.
Oh.
And we serve it with sweet potatoes, carrots, and some regular little potatoes in there. And then the brisket sits over it. So what I do is I have a drip pan under my brisket on that convector. And I have my sweet potatoes and the whole nine in that drip pan with a little bit of stock so it won't burn. And the brisket sits over it. And now 2 hours into the brisket cook, I pull the veggies or else they would be little lumps of coal.
Yes.
For those of the people who will need them on Thanksgiving. Or not Thanksgiving. Oh, my goodness. Christmas. I'm thinking
Hanukkah.
Thanksgiving still because we were just talking about turkey.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a different take on brisket. Now, I still cook it traditionally. But for Hanukkah, instead of my barbecue spice rub, I only do salt and pepper. It's called a Dalmatian rub. In the pit master world, it is equal parts salt and pepper. I cover it real good in that salt and pepper mixture. I cut the fat cap down to a quarter of an inch. So there's still some fat, and I place the fat cap down. The reason why I do that is because when I started working a pit 12 years ago, I did open fire cooking. And the way that open fire cooking works is they place it fat cap down because as that fat renders and it hits the fire, little bits of smoke come up and it helps flavor the meat. So I have always kept it that way. And I cook very low and slow. So I actually put it on the day before or else my family would be eating at, you know, 3 a.m. So I smoke my briskets for about 18 hours.
At what temperature? That's got to be real
225.
Low.
225.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I do, 225. And the way that I load my coal bed is slightly different. When I fill up that firebox, I'm going to do a layer of Big Green Egg, natural lump charcoal, five big chunks of hickory wood, and then another layer of charcoal. Then I light right in the middle. You want to light in the middle so it's an even spread as you open up that airflow if you have to. If it's lit in the back, it might not be as even with the heat. If your brisket is positioned towards the back, half of it's going to cook faster than the other. So to avoid that, I light smack down in the middle. Now, why I put the lumps of wood in the middle is because as my fire spreads, that wood will already be dried out because of that fire in the middle, of course. But you'll still get a nice even wood smoke all the way through. And you want that because with brisket, we chase that smoke ring, that beautiful deep red mark. Now, a smoke ring is actually caused by the release of nitric oxide and carbon monoxide coming out of wood smoke. You want to pick a high-grade wood. So, you know, if you have a local lumber mill, sometimes they'll actually give you the ends, and they know what they are, which is kind of neat. We do that up in Kennesaw. There's one nearby us. So that wood is going to react with something called myoglobin. And now myoglobin turns red because of the nitric oxide, carbon monoxide, and moisture. Now that ceramic is a great, great cooking tool if you want to keep something nice and moist. So it holds all that moisture in from that fat and all that goodness and the meat juice. So you're going to get a beautiful smoke ring. But it actually will not continue to develop the smoke ring once it's passed around 145 degrees. At that point, myoglobin begins to denature into something called hemochrome. Hemochrome is that brown color of cooked steak.
Golly, all that from what's for dinner.
So wow. We have a side of chemistry with our meal today. But, you know, cooking it nice and low and slow gives it that time to stay below that 145-degree mark to really form that beautiful smoke ring. Now, I wrap my brisket at 165 degrees, and I always let it rest for at least an hour before I slice it because you want a nice bark to form. Now, bark, against common misconception of thinking it's burnt spices, is actually a matrix of polymers that are formed from that meat fat combining with your spice rub. So if I wrap it, that fat is going to still be in the bottom there. And if I let it
there
set,
you go, looking at
it's
me
going
again.
To solidify. I'm talking to you. That's why. You're always picking on me. So it's going to solidify during the rest and still give you that beautiful crispy bark, even though it's wrapped. But you want to make sure it's wrapped.
Are you taking notes?
It has to be wrapped.
Yes.
Flush with the meat or else you're going to steam it. So make sure it's wrapped nice and tight.
Wow. I'm telling you what, she is full of it.
She is.
When it comes to information on briskets and everything. Now that you've given us a really educational, I mean, that was very nice.
Thank you
for sharing that. I did not. I knew that, you know, 145 or after 3 hours, usually you don't get a smoke ring going any further.
Mm-hmm.
And I know people that will actually put hickory on there for 10 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I keep throwing hickory wood on there, and hickory wood, I'm going to get a better smoke ring.
You'll still get a flavor. You just won't get a better smoke
it
ring.
Stops.
Yeah.
It stops. It stops. It only takes so much, and then no mas. It's like when I go to the buffet. I start out tough, and I mean I can plow through it. But there comes a time where I can no longer do so.
Yeah, and then they tell you, you've been here 4 hours. You leave now.
No, they go, you fat boy, eat more vegetables. Meat too expensive, you fat. I know, I've been there. You know, I could always tell the owner of the Chinese buffet.
Yeah.
Because as soon as I walk in, it's the one crying.
Oh.
I mean, it was really ugly. But that's okay because, hey, listen, Melania's already married.
That's right.
So I'm off the market anyway.
And, you know, speaking of Chinese food.
Yes.
So everyone talks about how Jewish people eat Chinese food on Christmas. That is not a stereotype. That is a real thing. I mean, I walk in to Walking Chopstick down the street, and half my temple is sitting in there, and you're walking through, and, you know, it takes 20 minutes to get to the table. Because their religion does not celebrate Christmas.
That's right.
So they're
Indian restaurants and Chinese restaurants are the only two that stay open traditionally during Christmas. And so,
Yeah, exactly. Oh, we went to the movies after, too. Yep. So it's hard to get a movie on Christmas. Everyone who thinks, the whole family will go after our Christmas dinner, it'll be empty. Oh, you are sadly mistaken.
Wow.
Yep.
All right, now, how much time we have back there, engineer? Okay, do you think you can whip out some sweet potato recipe in 4 minutes?
Oh, yeah. Oh, this is the easiest sweet potato recipe. I like to keep it simple because sweet potatoes have a really nice natural flavor. And I use a wonderful, wonderful product made by Banner Butter. They had a collaboration with Matt Pittman, the owner of Meat Church Seasonings. And they have developed a honey hog Banner Butter. And it is to die for. It's got that sweet. It's got that heat. It does it all for you. So I simply take some candied bacon, crumpled up, and I roast my sweet potatoes on the egg at 350 until they're nice and fork tender. Let them cool for about 20 minutes, I peel them, throw them in a pot, put in a wheel of Banner butter to about 10 potatoes, and I do a tablespoon of salt because it's so sweet. You want to make sure you balance it, and about 2 teaspoons of fresh ground black pepper. And they're so soft, you don't even have to mash them. I used my hand, and I mixed them all together with a glove.
I hope you wash. Oh, with gloves.
With a glove,
you.
Yeah. I threw that in.
I was going to bust you, but see, you got me before I could bust you.
I read your
But
mind.
Anyway, my friends, if you want these recipes, you can go to chefofatman.com. The recipes will be there, and they'll be there in time for you to use them, which is something we have not been able to do for 17 years. Because the chefs were a little bit, how should we say, lazy. But anyway, we're going to have these recipes up there for you. Plus, if you missed the story of brisket and the hemoglobins and the globulolins and the megabones and the this and the that, you can hear it all multiple times, many times as you want to, because we're going to be right there on Podbean and iTunes. So you can go and get the show and listen to it as often as you want. So you can take copious notes and be the really the hit of every party.
Absolutely.
Can you imagine? She must be a riot
My
at a
friends
party.
Don't want to hear me talk about meat anymore.
I was being facetious. Yeah. I mean, can you imagine? She's everybody had about 3 or 4 pops, and then they go, gee, I was thinking of having brisket. Oh, let me tell you about brisket. After 3 or 4 pops, I'll bet that's a slice. Anyway, my friends, when we come back, we're going to go from one sweet potato and jump right into a real potato.
Yep, a real potato.
Well, that's because I'm Irish. We don't acknowledge sweet potato. We acknowledge them. But anyway, it's all about food, fun, and celebrating the good life. I hope you all are having a wonderful holiday season. When we come back, Chef Amanda, the director extraordinaire of Le Cordon Green Culinary Center, is going to be here to tell you some. We're going to tell you about why you probably are screwing up your mashed potatoes and how you can make your mashed spuds better.
Absolutely.
Chef of the Fat Man taking it to the streets of a home near you.